Okay, we have one verse, and Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. We're looking at the introduction of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Bible there mentions the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I've entitled this introduction to the Proverbs, Desire the Wisdom of God. Although these are the Proverbs of Solomon, they were given to Solomon by God. It was God that had granted the request of Solomon. When God had asked Solomon what he desired, Solomon said, I desire wisdom. And 1 Kings 3:9 says, Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge these, thy so great a people? And the reason King Solomon asked for wisdom from the Lord is because he knew that he needed his wisdom and that he didn't want to lean onto his own understanding. He wanted to make sure that his decisions were right, his judgments were right, the matters that would come before him from different people of that nation, he would judge rightly, he would have the discernment of God, he wouldn't be an unjust judge, and he just wanted to make sure that the discernment come from God, that he would know bad from evil and evil from bad, good bad from good, and he wanted to make sure that he was able to prove all things. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked and to overthrow the righteous in judgment. And I believe that this is what Solomon wanted to do. He wanted to make a right judgment, and therefore he needed God's wisdom in doing so. He wanted the wisdom of God because he knew he was lacking. He was lacking wisdom. Now, a good start in seeking the wisdom of God for you and I is acknowledging the fact that we need God, we need his word to guide us. We need to acknowledge and admit the fact that we don't know everything and God does. We've got to come to that term. 1 Kings 3:7 says, And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. C.H. Spurgeon said, The doorstep to the temple of wisdom is to acknowledge our ignorance. And that's so true, isn't it? As we live in this 21st century and as this vast world is growing into ungodliness just more and more, you can see it advancing. We need the wisdom of God to know how to live in this dark place. We need the wisdom of God to know how to encourage our kids on, and we need the wisdom of God to know how to simply live and walk uprightly in this dark place. We need God. And wisdom starts with God. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. God is the source of wisdom. God is the source of understanding and discernment. As a matter of fact, we need his wisdom for discernment, that we may distinguish between good and bad. Because our views, our counsel, our thoughts, our hearts can deceive us. We can be warped in our thinking. We need God's wisdom for our relationships, in marriage, parenting, how to raise our children, and family matters, church matters, and finances, how to save and how to spend. We need to have wisdom for our character, our faithfulness without use of the tongue, and many other things the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs regarding these things. Friendship. Who to avoid and how to be a friend, and also decisions for everyday life. We need God's wisdom because we lack wisdom. Now, how do we get this wisdom? Well, number one, ask the Lord. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12, notice what the Bible says. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And in 1 Kings 4:32, the Bible mentions, And he, Solomon, spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were about 1,005. And we have about 700 recorded in the book of Proverbs that we can glean on, we can learn from. And the reason we at times may not have the wisdom of God is because we perhaps don't run to God and ask God when something arises. You know, James says it, James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. And at times when we do ask and we don't receive from the Lord, we may get the silent treatment, if you would, or we may experience the silence of God. It could be for this reason that we may perhaps are asking amiss. We're not asking according to the will of God. We're not asking according to the wisdom of the Lord. And notice James 4:3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Perhaps with the wrong motives. Why? That ye may consume it upon your lust. Now God was certainly pleased with the prayer of Solomon. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thy, look at, long life, neither has asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked for life, the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. God was pleased with the prayer of Solomon because he needed the wisdom of God to know how to judge, to know how to discern, how to deal with certain matters in life. And this thing pleased the Lord. Didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches and wealth and health. That surely puts a cold blanket on the prosperity gospel, doesn't it? We need wisdom. And I guarantee you, you get into the Word of God and you ask God for wisdom and you ask Him, Lord, I just want to know how to be a godly man. I just want to know how to be a godly woman. I don't want to know how to rear up my children for you. I just want to know how to love my wife. I want to know how to save and spend and all that. I want to know how to be a good church member. I want to know how to be a good soul. I need wisdom. I want to know how to judge. I want to know how to make good decisions in life, and I guarantee you God will take care of the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after, He will bless us with. Now, does that mean at times we don't ask for our daily bread? God says in our prayers that we ought to. It's a sign of dependence. But God surely desires us for His wisdom. Asking for His wisdom. Our daily needs, we are ask to be content with such things. Food, clothing, be content. And I guarantee when you ask and pray for these things, the God, our Father in heaven, which encourages the fathers here on earth not to be people that would simply be infidel and not supply for their own children, I guarantee you a God that commands that will supply for His own. In that area, we don't need to worry, but when we ask for more than that we need, God says no. Now, I'd rather you ask for wisdom because that's what you need and that's what I need and that's what you lack. Just pray that God will give you a comfortable, simple life in your living, and don't ask more than that. But ask for this one thing, wisdom, and God will be pleased. And God was pleased with His prayer. Notice, please, if you turn to James chapter 1, verse 5, I want you to keep in mind while asking the Lord for wisdom some things. So James chapter 1 verse 5. To ask in faith means that we don't doubt the Lord. To ask with faith means that we trust that God will keep His promises. So in other words, when I come and ask the Lord for wisdom, He is going 100% to give it to me. So when I come to Him regarding a certain matter, I know that God is going to give me His wisdom. When? Well, that's another thing, but I know He's going to give it to me. Notice verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, what's that word? Liberally, freely, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. God's not going to withhold His wisdom from you. As a matter of fact, He wants to impart it to you. He wants to give it to you. God wants you to be wise more than you want to be wise for yourself. And so He says, when you come to me, though, I want you to come asking by faith, knowing that I'm going to answer your prayer in this area. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let him not think that a man shall receive anything of the Lord. So not only we ask amiss at times, but sometimes we ask and we're not faith-filled prayers. We doubt God. Second of all, to ask in faith means you will wait on the Lord as long as it takes. And not only wait on the Lord as long as it takes. By the way, waiting on the Lord means you trust the Lord. You trust his integrity. You trust his timing. But it also means that you will happily accept whatever it is that God will give you, even when it doesn't meet with your wishes. Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You either want the wisdom of God or you don't, even when it's contrary to your own ways. Lean not to your own understanding, the Bible says. Trust in the Lord in all thy ways and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. With all thy heart, not half your heart. You've got to come to the Lord with a full heart, full submission. Say, Lord, you know best, and I want to heed whatever it is that you want for me, I'll happily accept it. Now, you and I may at times throw our hands in the air when we first get our answer, but then we might realize, you know, the Lord knows best. The Lord knows best. You know what? This is a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. For the Lord has answered my prayer, and I'm happy and content with that. That's faith. That's faith. And so, number one, ask the Lord, but ask in faith. Okay, number two, seek the word of the Lord. I mean, you want wisdom? Seek the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This holy book, this word of God is able to make you and me wise in this area of salvation and other areas. God is able to make us wise people, people with wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. It's packed with wisdom. And Proverbs means, it's if your definition for Proverbs is perhaps a saying or a discourse, like a poem, if you would, like a proverb. It's metaphor in nature, symbolic, similes, figure of speech, to convey a truth that is easy understood. I have some definitions here from other sources. A proverb is a short statement that takes a place of many words. A proverb is a saying that conveys a specific truth in a pointed and pithy way. A proverb is a short sentence drawn from long experience. And a proverb is wisdom in a portable form. Let me stop here and give you some proverbs Spurgeon has gleaned from the scriptures, using principles from scripture. I'll give you five proverbs which he has come up with. Number one, he says, a bad servant will make a bad master. A bridle for the tongue is a fine piece of harness. A clear head is desirable and a clean heart is essential. And a fault mender is better than a fault finder. I like this one. A lazy boy and a warm bed are hard to part. And that's true, isn't it? And you can see from the Proverbs that the Bible does talk about those different things that he'd mentioned. And maybe you want to stop and take some time during the week and come up with some things that you glean and lean from the scriptures. Perhaps on Wednesday night you'd share it with us, having a proverb or a saying that is scriptural, that is practical, easy to remember, and that you can apply for everyday living. A lazy boy in a warm bed are hard to part. Now that helps me to be diligent. That helps me to get up in the morning and perhaps not get too comfortable. Amen. Now, oftentimes you'll find that the writers of the New Testament referred back to the book of Proverbs. Here are some examples. Proverbs 3, verse 11. Notice, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, who can remember where that came from in the New Testament? Yes, Hebrews chapter 12. Remember that time? He goes down and verse 1 talks about laying aside every weight and every sin that easily besets us. and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And later on, he talks about how don't despise the chastening of the Lord. And and by the way, he says and he mentions that God would chasten his children. And if you're not chastened, then you're a bastard. You're an illegitimate child, and you're not the child of God. Every child of God will be corrected by God's hand. Now, another one is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. We spoke about this morning. It's found in James chapter 4, verse 6, and 1 Peter 5, verse 5. God God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And then we see Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. That's found in 1 Peter 4:8. Now, it's a good habit for you and I to get into the Proverbs daily. For example, today was February the 2nd. And by the way, it helped you keep the date. Amen. Someone would ask you the date. If you're in your Proverbs, you'd know it. You say, I know the date today. I won't hesitate. And so Proverbs chapter 2. And you'll get into the Proverbs, and tomorrow will be Proverbs chapter 3. Make it a habit that you read one chapter a day, and you go, and I guarantee you, you'll go through those Proverbs, and it'll get to the point in some chapters, not all, that you know what's coming up next. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And you perhaps won't get everything from just one chapter, all those different verses, but you perhaps will get one thing that you can remember for that day. And from that chapter, you'd notice if you highlight your Bible some, you'd notice by the time you read it time and time again throughout the years, perhaps several verses from that chapter has been highlighted. Because one verse spoke to you for that day, and then another verse spoke to you from that chapter another day. It's wonderful. Well, that's God's wisdom. Get into the Proverbs. Find yourself trying to do a chapter a day. And you know, when you make it a habit, you'll come to know that God will help you apply it. Well, that's why we read the Word of God, amen? We read the Word of God so we can apply it. And that's another way to have wisdom, okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to fear God is to obey God. Okay, so if you want wisdom, we need to obey the Lord. Matthew chapter 7 and verse... Actually, we'll go to the book of Psalms, if you would. And then we'll come back to Matthew chapter 7. Go to the book of Psalms 111. 111. I want you to see these two connections between the fear of the Lord and obeying the Lord, how this will bring to us wisdom. And they connect together. Fearing God and obeying God go hand in hand. You agree with that? Fearing the Lord is to obey the Lord. And obeying the Lord is to fear the Lord. They go hand in hand. Now notice verse 10 of Psalm 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good place to start. And then a good understanding have all they that do his commandment. And by the way, to have understanding is to have wisdom. That's what he asked for. Solomon asked for understanding. And understanding means to have wisdom, to understand. Okay, and the way that God will grant to us wisdom is, number one, to fear him and to obey him. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. C.H. Spurgeon once said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal, and are all greater fools for it. To know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Please turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 22 through to verse 25, notice what the Bible says. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Notice verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, amen, and continueth therein, and being not a what? Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, there's a wonderful passage there talking about being doers and not hearers. But the emphasis of fact of is continuing to do what you hear, not to be a forgetful hearer, to continue on with what God has taught us in our devotional times, in our challenging times through the teaching and preaching of God's word throughout the weeks, if you would, throughout the Gospels and throughout the letters to the seven churches of Revelation. You'll understand this phrase from Jesus every now and then, especially when he talks about different parables, which are similar to Proverbs, conveying a truth. He that what? Hath an ear, let him hear. You know what he's, you know why he emphasizes that sometimes more than one time? In the beginning and at the end. You know why? God is calling us to pay attention. God is calling for attention, for he is about to expose great wisdom, and we have to grasp it in order for it to be applied in our life. We have to understand what he's trying to say, and he's putting great emphasis that we need to pay attention to this, and we need to do what he's telling us to do. In Luke chapter 11, beginning from verse 27 and 28, and it came to pass, and he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Notice Jesus' response. Look at this response. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I mean, we're talking about here Mary, that the song perhaps was sung, blessed art thou amongst women. And his mother in the flesh, if you would, that nursed him, that brought him up. And I don't think if Mary heard this, it would be perhaps a rebuke. She'd understand and have a heart that she was just like anyone else, and not a goddess or not someone special or not second to Jesus. She was just like you and me. And he was conveying a truth. And in another gospel, he says, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Anyone that hears the word of God and keeps it is my mother and my brethren. So it doesn't really matter if you were born in, you know, next to Jesus. It doesn't really matter if you were brought up a Christian and you know the principles. It doesn't really matter if you were brought up in Sunday school and you knew all the stories. And you know what? That is great and that is all good and that is wonderful. But the difference between someone that stays in the will of God and someone that's out of the will of God is the person that really applies these biblical stories in their life. And they're not just stories. But they grow up. I thank God for these little ones that were brought up in Sunday school and continue in church. Thank God for that. And you know why they continue? Because they continue to apply these stories that are not just stories, but are real in their life. They believe the God of Jehovah is the God of today. And they allow him to be the king of their life, applying the scriptures, taking heed to these different stories in their own life. They hear and they do. They hear the word of God and they have a desire to keep the word of God. And the reason why you see so many people perhaps not living right like they ought to, and they've been through church, and we meet these people in prisons half the time, and you'd hear it all the time. I was a pastor's son. I was a pastor's son. It was perhaps I'm not really going to blame the rearing up of that parent, okay? I don't know what's taking place in their life, but I know and understand one thing. He's accountable for not taking up the word of God and not doing the word of God. You know, even Jesus said to the disciples regarding the Pharisees, hear what they say, but don't do what they do, because they were hypocrites. And if that made them bitter because their pastor father was a hypocrite, one way in church and one way at home, and they had to go and rebel against that, well, you know, at the end of the day, you really can't blame anyone but yourself. He's going to stand before God one day, but you're going to stand before God one day for rebelling against the truth. But the difference was, one kept the word. A wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the other one was foolish, didn't keep the word, hence he's in prison. Or on this path, or that path, or in a way to destruction. And when we go there and we share the gospel and they go back, it's like that seed that was sown so long ago just comes alive again in their life. It's wonderful. And they see him just melt, if you would. And that, all that labor from a child was not in vain. They're able to make you wise and a sailor, but only if you do it. Only if you keep it. It will become a great benefit in your life. Applying what you hear, responding to the word of God. US Airway, I believe I mentioned this story a while back. Flight 1549 crash lands in the Hudson River in 2009. How many people heard about that accident? The reason why it landed and crashed in the river is because there were some birds that flew into the engine, caused the engine to stop, and the pilots were given some reward for landing that plane. They landed it on the water perfectly. But the people in the plane gave testimony. One man testified that he heard the pilot say, "Brace for impact." And he said, "Brace for impact." He looked up and he looked around and he saw everyone with confused looks on their faces. Brace for impact. They had no idea what it meant. And then the flight attendant in the back buckled up, yelled out from a distance, right from the back, "Put your heads down! Heads down!" You sometimes see it on the instruction sheet there, the rules, if you would, the rules or the procedures, if you would, if you get into an incident or an accident, you'd see the pictures, and every time in the beginning they show you a video. Now it's a video or a recording, or even some like to just present it themselves again, and I'm sure they perhaps get sick of it. But maybe you're like me and you sit in that plane and you said, I've heard this before, and by the way, it may not happen anyways. And knowing that testimony and knowing the word of God, every time I sit in that plane, I get convicted when I start getting restless and looking away or trying to send my final SMSs to my wife or something like that. I kind of think, man, I better pay attention to the instruction again. Simple instruction, put your head down. And they didn't know it. When you're under pressure, if you would, look at when the storms of life come, when the storms of life come, when a tragedy hits and you're not in the Word of God and you're not a doer of the Word, you're going to fall flat on your face. You'll be flustered. But when you're in the Word of God and storms come your way, you'll be found fixed. Because God's going to give you grace and how to respond. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you comfort. He's going to encourage your heart in certain areas. A wise man will hear the word of God and take heed to the word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13, notice what the Bible says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Okay, this is the conclusion. This is it. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's the conclusion. If you really want to sum it up, that's it. It all comes back to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Through the tough times, through the good times. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. To trust and obey, to walk with the Lord, to have the relationship with the Lord preeminent, leaning on Him, casting your cares upon Him, following Him, abiding in Him, continuing in Him, befriending Him. Let's read that together. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ready? Begin. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. In 1 Kings 3, 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give thee?" And Solomon said, "Wisdom." "Lord, I desire your wisdom." And God said, "This is one thing I want to grant to you tonight. What will you ask God for? What is it that's on your heart? If it's not wisdom, would you lay it aside and say, 'Lord, I want it to be wisdom.' Why? Because I want to know how to please you. I want to know how to make a right judgment. I want to know how to lead my family. I want to know how to love my husband, submit to him. I want to know how to love my wife. I want to make sure that I'm doing my right dealings well. Lord, I need your wisdom." Ask for it. Seek the Lord. Seek His word. Fear the Lord and obey Him. May we be wise people building on a foundation by obeying the word of God. A good foundation. The tallest building, if that picture can come up, if you would, Maggie. The tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, rises more than 2,700 feet. Over half a mile tall, it has 160 floors and is twice as tall as the Empire State Building in New York. It is the home to the world's fastest elevator that travels to how many miles, do you think? Anyone can take a guess? 40 miles. It's about 75 to 80 kilometers. Is that right? Per hour. The Burj Khalifa also hosts the world's highest outdoor observation deck on the 124th floor and the world's highest swimming pool on the 76th floor. But the secret to the stability of this massive building is found underground. Before construction began to rise up, workers spent, you know how many months on the foundation? 1 year. Just digging the foundation. 1 year digging and pouring the massive foundation that supports the building. The foundation contains some 58,900 cubic yards of concrete weighing more than 110,000 tons. Please note this. The building is safe because the foundation is solid. That's a tall building. And it still stands because it has a strong foundation. Godly and righteous living is important as a matter of obedience. But there are so many wonderful things and benefits that follow as a result. When we live according to God's principle and wisdom, we receive His blessing, but also we can establish a firm foundation for our lives and for our family. And so, may God help us to desire God's wisdom. Amen? Let's pray.